You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining the show this afternoon. We're with you till 6 p.m. right here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM in Knoxville, online at fanrunradio.com, and your free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Let's go and bring in my brethren here on The Drive. Bear, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Bear, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad, man. Beautiful day.
Just an absolutely gorgeous day. Good to hear your voice. I feel like we just talked 30 minutes ago. It's probably because we did. Let's get Trey in here. I haven't spoken with him yet. Trey, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Just sitting here enjoying a nice day. And, the 1997 SEC Championship game is on television right now.
I see a couple people tweeting about that. I got to be honest with you, man. A little tired of that game. I feel like I've seen that game a billion times.
I haven't. I was there. It may be the third time I've ever watched it, like on TV. So, yeah, it is what it is.
We
just a damn minute here,
Auburn.
Russell.
Yeah?
What do you mean? What's that? 97, that's the year that two former members of The Drive had one of the ultimate plays in the game, was it not?
I know Terry had a rough game. I think he fumbled multiple punts in that game.
Yeah, but didn't Terry get the interception at the end?
I think he redeemed himself with a big punt return at the end. But he was having a rough game. I've seen it a million times. It's been a minute since I've seen it. But that was 97, so Fred White wasn't playing as much at that point. That was, I believe, Jason Parker. And I don't know if Deion started that year. It may be Deion Grant, Jason Parker at safety.
I'm going to do some research, but tread lightly on that game, my friend.
Tennessee, I just saw the stat. They had five turnovers with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. So, yeah, it was kind of nasty.
I mean, the Georgia Dome was brutal to us in all sports. We almost blew that game. We almost blew the 98 national championship against Mississippi State. We sleptwalked through that thing until right at the end we hit a bomb to Stallworth for a touchdown to put us ahead. And then we got a turnover on the kick on the next series, and then we hit a bomb to, I believe, Cedric Wilson in the corner of the end zone to put it out of reach. But, I mean, we didn't play well against Mississippi State in the 98 national championship season.
No, I remember that one vividly there, too. I can remember my father running up and down the aisle. I agree. It's weird to see. I don't know. They just returned Peyton Manning's pass like 83 yards and got it down to the 10-yard line. Like, these are small things that I forget about. You know what I mean? That you go back and you look at it now, and you know, it brings back crazy memories.
Yeah, it's hopefully we get back there someday. I was talking on Periscope right before we came on the show. I'm beginning to feel a little more optimism that we're going to have football. It seems like, I know we don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, but it seems like the curve is flattening and people are talking about, you know, getting certain segments of industry back up and running, getting people back to work. Obviously, we've got to figure out, just how to negotiate that to keep our more vulnerable citizens safe. But I, for one, feel much more optimistic than I did this time last week that we're going to be playing college football. You guys have any change in your opinions or about the same? Certainly not worse, right?
No, I think it's something that I think it's a status quo right now. I think a lot of people are taking Chip Kelly's comments today to heart, which I think is good. I think he had some strong comments, and I think he was right about them too. He's going
to
be on a government
what do you have
level.
To say? And,
well, he kind of went on and he was talking about, you know, how this thing is, it's not going to be up to the colleges. It's going to be up to the local government. He said this on the COVID-19 chain of command. The governors of the states and mayors are going to be the ones who tell you whether we can do it, because the NCAA can say, hey, you guys are all going back. But if Governor Newsom says we're not going back, then we're not going back. So, you know, he's putting it at the state governments.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, probably the way it should be. I just feel a little bit better about things, Dad. I don't want to spend the whole show on, like, you know, who's right, what the projections say, because obviously it changes from day to day. And we're just in the fog of war. We'll have much better clarity on the numbers and the data and all that stuff after all this is over. I'm sure. I was talking with somebody on Twitter. I mean, they'll be studying these numbers for years. They're still studying the numbers from the 1918 flu. We have no idea how many people died of that. The numbers range anywhere from 25 million all the way up to 100 million deaths worldwide. We just have no idea because you know, the science, the data wasn't, the collecting methods weren't as good back then. You're in the middle of World War One, just a whole host of factors. And like, we'll never know an accurate death tally for this virus. But it's I'm cautiously optimistic that things are trending in a positive direction, not only for sports, but for the rest of American industry as well. So. Anyway, Trey, I meant to hit on this yesterday. You brought this up. Yesterday was the year anniversary that we found out that Rick Barnes was seriously flirting with UCLA and a possible move to Westwood. And, of course, that went on for a couple of days. So this is a year since Rick Barnes was in communication with UCLA, and of course, we all know how it ended. Tennessee ultimately, in a move that still, quite frankly, surprises me that we did this, and we'll talk about whether or not it was a good thing ultimately, but we backed the Brinks truck up for a basketball coach, which is something we have never done, and we end up paying Rick Barnes $5 million a year. He makes more, over $1 million a year more than Jeremy Pruitt, the football coach, which is a something that we never thought we would see here, the basketball coach making more than the football coach at Tennessee. But Randy Boyd got some big wigs together, presumably in a smoke-filled room, and they got the money together to keep Rick Barnes, made him an offer he could not refuse, and Rick Barnes stayed. So here is – I've got a couple of questions. I've got a couple of questions. First of all, are we glad a year later, knowing everything we know now, the recruiting class Barnes signed, the way the season went this past year, are we glad, Bear, that Tennessee stepped up to the plate and broke the bank to keep Rick Barnes?
I mean, absolutely.
Trey, you think it was the right move?
What are we going to do? It would have really hurt the program for him to have walked off last year.
I'll get to the second part of my question, but first, Trey, you think Tennessee did the right thing keeping Rick Barnes?
Yeah, I do. I remember so vividly because, you know, we started. I remember writing the first article that day whenever the flirtation started coming out from Los Angeles and how it built up. I think Tennessee did the right thing. I would have been interested to see how it would have played out if Tennessee would have called his bluff.
Yeah, that we'll never know. So here's the second part of my question, Bear.
We don't have Bear right now. He dropped again, Russ.
Of course he did. Would you trade? We'll get Bear back here. Would you trade Rick Barnes and his $5 million a year salary, which would not have taken you to the NCAA tournament this year, would you trade Rick Barnes right now for Steve Forbes, an up-and-comer with ties to the university who has built ETSU back into a mid-major powerhouse, who is going to get a D1, a Power 5 conference job sometime in the very near future, and is much younger than Rick Barnes and could possibly be here well over 10 years, which I don't, if we're being honest, probably you probably would bet against Rick Barnes being here another 10 years. Would you go ahead and roll the dice on Steve Forbes, even if you think you might not think that's roll the dice? I'm sure some of our Barnes bashing callers would not. Would you go ahead and make that switch right now if you could?
I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, it's close as we're ever going to get the band back together, you know?
You would make the switch. You would go ahead and say sayonara to Rick Barnes to bring Steve Forbes home to Knoxville.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Interesting. Trey, do you think that would be a prudent move by Philip Fulmer?
No, that'd be a dumb move. What? First of all, are we talking about like, okay, let me preface this. Are we talking about like right now as in today? Or are we talking about last year when Barnes was flirting with UCLA? Like, you talking about right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because I would have loved to see, like I said earlier, what Tennessee would have done if they said, okay, hey, you know, we're calling your bluff. Go negotiate. And then it come to find out that they couldn't afford the buyout, so Rick Barnes would have been kind of stuck in the middle. No, I don't think you mess around with that. I think Tennessee's got themselves a basketball coach, and Steve Forbes is young enough in 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whenever Rick Barnes wants to hang it up or the crazies around here run him out of town, then Steve Forbes would be around to come take over the team.
Yeah, Bear, I got to go with Trey on this one. I think Barnes.
That's foolish, man. Steve Forbes would electrify this town.
I think this town is going to be electrified next year. I think Rick Barnes is on the verge of something special. I think that we have a roster that is going to be capable of playing with anybody next season. I think the recruiting uptick we've seen here is what we saw this past season, I think, is going to be the blip on the radar, the year where we just didn't have the guns for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons. And I think that we're going to be back in a big way the next time we start playing college basketball. I understand the allure. I'm not dismissing it out of hand, Bear, but I just think that Rick Barnes still has enough gas in the tank to make one more big run at a Final Four, and I think you're much more likely to hit a Final Four in the next 5 years if Rick Barnes is your coach as opposed to Steve Forbes.
I don't know why you'd say that. I mean, that would be the one thing that I wouldn't, you know. You really think that?
Yes.
When was the last time Barnes went to a Final Four? 20 years ago?
When was the last time Forbes went to one?
Forbes is on his way up, buddy.
What, you think Barnes is on his way down?
He's going to have to show it, man. He flames out in the tournament. That you cannot deny that. He does not coach well in the tournament.
Well, 63 other teams in the in the NCAA usually flame out in the tournament one way or the other as well. So, I mean, it is what it is.
No, you can't spin it that way now. 63 teams, other teams. I mean, he's never, you know, I mean, as much talent as he's had, and as many early exits as he's made, I mean, that ain't nothing for Rick Barnes to give everybody the Irish goodbye at the tournament.
Was last year
everybody's looking around, where the hell did Rick Barnes go?
Was last year an early exit from the tournament?
With that team? The past 2 years were.
Nah.
Those are two Final Four teams. Absolutely. We could have cakewalked. We had a shot at the Natty the year before last. The way that thing opened up. And as hungry as that team was,
playing. That's the thing, though. The way that thing opened up. I mean, what are the chances that Kyle Alexander suffers a freak injury? What are the chances that we happen to run into one of the teams that had one of the great Cinderella runs in the history of the NCAA tournament? What are the chances that we run into a dude who can't miss Carson Edwards from the outside last year? Like, that's part of the deal, man. Teams get hot. Accidents happen.
It always seems to happen to Barnes, though.
Yeah, but you couldn't help Ryan Klein last year. Ryan Klein sitting there dogging everybody, dagging three-pointers and Grant Williams right in his face. I mean, the kid got hot. I mean, without Klein in the second half, Tennessee's playing Virginia, probably beating Virginia, they'd be in the Final Four. The kid got hot, man.
Yeah, but you say something about that every year for when Barnes bows out. I'm telling you, he's the Irish goodbye guy. He doesn't even say, bye. He's out. Boom, gone. I mean, I'm just telling you, I love him. I'll be proud of the program he has here, but he's going to have to show it to me. But, yeah, I'd take Forbesy. Forbesy, he'll shove his chips all in, buddy. Give me Steve Forbes. They say, bring him back.
You think Steve Forbes is going to recruit the kind of talent that Rick Barnes has gotten here?
I think he could.
Okay. He could? You're going to go with, we know Rick Barnes has coming in, but you're going to gamble and send him packing for he could, he might, maybe?
Well, fine, he would. And to say he couldn't is just silly. Who was he recruiting when he was here as an assistant?
What?
Who was he the lead recruiter for when he was here with Pearl? The guys he was involved with. Hell yeah, he could recruit here. The facilities. He studied at the foot of the master. He's got a great relationship with all the AAU folks from what I hear.
We'll make that.
You don't think he's tight with B-May's Elite AAU?
Your Rickard Ridge BBQ smoking hot question of the day. A year ago, we were all wondering, oh, my God, we're about to lose Rick Barnes to UCLA. The heck are we going to do? And we reflect on that today. Would you go ahead and make the swap Barnes for Forbes right now? If you could, 865-546-8200, 546-8200, your number to hop on the drive. We take a quick break. Your phone call's coming up. Stay with us. Fan Run Radio, Russell Barrett, Trey, cruise along with you. Tanner Carson in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, taking your phone calls at 865-546-8200, 546-8200, if you want to jump on this afternoon. Hayden has an interesting question in the text box. Would you rather have lost to Purdue last year in the Sweet 16 or to Auburn in the Final Four?
That's a funny Trey.
I'm sorry, I wasn't on mute. I got a funny text. I'm sorry.
Awful coincidental to the question being posed. I would not concede that we would have lost to Auburn in the Final Four.
No, that's not the question, Bear. Stop doing that's that. What are you question. Doing?
What?
Entertain the hypothetical.
Give me the Final Four. He could have at least said he's been back to the Final Four, Russell.
Yeah. I think you have to take the Final Four, right? I think you have to take kicking the door in. As painful as it would have been to have lost to Bruce Pearl, that would have been like three just soul-crushing losses to Pearl in about a month. It cost you a share of the regular season championship at the end of the regular season, the tournament championship game, and then a national semifinal. Oh, that would have been brutal.
Just get it over with against Virginia. Why would you put yourself through that?
I mean, because you need to go to a Final Four as a program.
Yeah, I guess.
And then get waxed by Bruce Pearl, then have to relive that, and then you get beat by him three times in a span of a month and a half?
It's hypothetical, because I wouldn't concede that we were going to get waxed by Bruce Pearl again.
Oh, no, you're gonna lose by a shot at the end of the game.
Whatever.
Yeah, we had no answers for Auburn last year. That was just a horrible matchup for our team.
Keep honking that Auburn horn. Be my guest.
I mean, you watched the games. We couldn't guard them, Bear. It happened
Tiger
again this year.
War Eagle Wallace.
It happened again this year, man. They get any wide open 3-point shot that they want. The chance to see Tennessee and Rick Barnes and Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield cut down the nets in Louisville after beating Virginia, the number one overall seed in the tournament and the eventual national champions, to be able to defeat them and cut down the nets and go to the Final Four and spend that entire week celebrating the team and getting amped up for it. Yeah, it would have been soul-crushing. One of the most, probably the worst feeling defeat in the history of the program. But by God, you would have made it, man. You would have crossed that notch off the basketball bucket list. You would have been there, and you could have reloaded. And then think what that would have done for recruiting. Think what that would have done if Tennessee had the perception of being a program that had been to a Final Four that you could, you know, potentially win it all at. I mean, I think you have to go ahead and take the Final Four.
What do you think?
We're
giving us a lot more. We probably would have gotten Blackshear.
It's a good point.
It screwed him. Yeah, his wasted year down there at Florida.
Yeah, but he kind of wasted that year himself. I mean, he didn't play really up to his ability at Florida. They gave him multiple opportunities to.
Yeah, he's got an idiot for a coach. Mike White's horrible, man. I mean, he would have gotten utilized a lot better up here with Barnes.
Tennessee will have a staff opening in its administration as Mickey Allen has been named the director of athletics at Tennessee State University today.
Mickey
Congratulations
Allen?
Congratulations to Mickey Allen.
Yeah.
Wow. Congrats.
What was he, Trey? Was he the Vol for Life guy right now or something? Or is he in development?
Yeah, pretty much. Development. They kind of changed the name around on it. So, yeah, it's kind of a different name than what it was.
He's a fundraiser. That's what that job is. Yeah. Congratulations to him. My lasting memory is, I'm sure most Tennessee fans' lasting memory of Mickey Allen, who made no great impact on the field as a player here, but certainly one of the more memorable images of the 1998 season was after the Clint Sterner fumble, the CBS cut to the camera, and was it Derek Edmond? Like, who was the guy they were embracing on the sideline, just rolling all over each other in complete shock? A scene that encapsulated the feeling of all of Volunteer Nation when Tennessee snatched victory from the jaws of defeat against Houston Nutt and the Razorbacks that rainy afternoon in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, that was – yeah, they went to the – was that Goodrich? It was Lott. I think it was Lott, Goodrich, and somebody else. I remember what you're talking about. They gave one big hug down there. It's crazy you bring that game up, too. I watched the story of Brandon Bullsworth the other night. The movie they made about him, and you know that they kind of did that game. They replayed that game in his movie. It's crazy you bring that game up.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes, it's called Greater, and I tell you, man, that's a damn strong movie, man. About his life, it was brought back a lot of memories, man. So that was I thought it was really good. I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I remember. I mean, that was absolutely tragic. He'd been drafted by the Colts, I believe, in the first round. He was going to have a great NFL career when he passed away in a car wreck. And, you know, the fumble.
2 days before signing his contract with the Colts, he had actually come home for a couple days after some OTA, something like that. But 2 days before he was supposed to sign his contract with the Colts, he passed away. Truck driver hit him. And but that's how we have the Bullsworth trophy now for best walk-on who turned starter, which is very cool.
Yeah, the fumble. People always, you know, obviously Sterner should have secured the ball better, but the play was made by Billy Ratliff, just charging, bull rushing Brandon Burlesworth, and he ended up falling back and stepping on Sterner's shoe, which caused him to stumble. And, you know, Brandon Burlesworth, a key figure in Tennessee's national championship, of all the things that had to go right in 1998. Tennessee would not have won that game without him. All right, Rickard Ridge, barbecue smoking hot question. For those of you just joining us, would you trade Rick Barnes right now for Steve Forbes or someone else, anyone else right now? Forbes is I was the only guy we would seriously consider for that, right?
Yeah. He's the only one that comes to mind.
A year ago today, all of our jaws were on the floor as we learned that Rick Barnes was seriously entertaining an offer from UCLA to leave. Knowing what you know now, how badly, I don't say how badly, but how underwhelming last basketball season was, combined with the positive side of that, the best signing class in school history coming in next year, along with EJ Anasicki and a pretty good-looking Tennessee team on paper, that Andy Katz, by the way, has Tennessee number 16 in the country heading into next season. He says Tennessee should be picked number one or number two in the SEC heading into next year. That's the guy. That's the kind of program you would blow up right now for a completely unproven commodity in Steve Forbes, Bear.
Sure, why not? I mean, he's got the X factor. He's closest thing we're going to ever get to having Pearl back here. You don't think he'd be more in the mold of Bruce Pearl and Ray Mears?
Here's the thing.
He'd strap on an orange coat. I guarantee he'd be wearing the orange suit.
Oh, bring him back. He'd wear an orange coat. Oh, my goodness.
It's a key part of Bear's argument.
That's one of the main things.
Wearing orange blazer.
Yeah.
Bear, I think we're doing the thing we
do. I don't like this damn question, Russ. It's pissing me off, man. You guys are disrespecting Coach Forbes.
You're disrespecting Coach Barnes. He's our guy.
I don't care. Get us past the Sweet 16, Bubba.
You're basing so much of your argument on your love for Bruce Pearl, nostalgia for those six seasons, and it's important to remember, you're not getting him. It is not the guy. You're getting the guy who sat next to the guy for five of those years, but you're not getting Bruce. You're getting Steve Forbes, and he might be good. He might be better. I don't know, but that's the point. You don't know. Like, you're not. We're not talking about Rob Lanier. We're not talking about the guy who sat next to Rick Barnes for all those years. We got Barnes. We got the guy. So why would you get rid of the guy to get the guy who sat next to the guy?
Well, that brings up an interesting point. What if we could have gotten Buck back last year?
See, now you're just flailing wildly.
Coming off his final four run. Huh?
Now you're reaching.
Put that pole in the field.
Now you're reaching.
He wouldn't have come back here.
You think
the fact
Bruce
that he
Pearl
loves this place.
You think Bruce Pearl would have left Auburn a year, the same year he went to the Final Four to come back to Tennessee?
Do I think that?
Yes.
Yes. But I believe it with every fiber of my being he would have.
Well, that's absurd.
I guarantee he would have. If you,
you don't know that.
I mean, it's obvious. He would.
It's not obvious. You can't make that guarantee.
Yes, it is. Come on, Russ.
Who has ever left after making a Final Four to make a lateral move in the same conference?
Yeah, it's a special situation, though. He never wanted to leave here. He loves it here. Still got a house here, Russ. He's in town all the time.
Boy.
Pose that question, though. Would you have taken Pearl back when Barnes started flirting with UCLA? I think the numbers on that one might surprise you. Maybe they wouldn't.
One thing I miss so much this beautiful spring afternoon, this is supposed to be day one at Augusta. We're supposed to be posted up at Jet's Pizza, chowing down, sipping a cold beer as we watch the tradition like none other. And here on the drive, we're supposed to be going to Bears Masters Scoreboard Leaderboard Update Center. But by God, we're going to do it anyway when we come back here on the drive. Stay with us. I know what you're thinking. I know. Russell, there's no golf tournament right now. There's no sports, period. How are we going to go to Bears Masters Scoreboard Leaderboard Update Center? Well, we found a way. We found a way because the Scoreboard Leaderboard Update Center must go on, even if the games do not. We'll go to it coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Like none other. The azaleas are in bloom, my friends, as we welcome you to Augusta National Golf Club, where there is no golf being played right now, but thanks to our friends over at CBSSports.com, they've run a simulation of what the tournament might look like. Over at CBS, we're through 36 holes this afternoon, my friends, and for more, we now go to the man who's just as bald, but more handsome than Jeremy Pruitt, the bear in the bear's den. It's Bears Masters Scoreboard Leaderboard Update Center, Bear.
Well, I guess I'm looking at this leaderboard. Sportsline with CBS did some kind of computer simulation, which... You know me, Russ, I'm going to have some bones to pick. But here we go, down the leaderboard. In first, after 36 holes, I have John Rahm at minus 11. Patrick Reed's in second at 9 under par. Coming in at number three, Dicky Matsuyama at minus 8. Webb Simpson comes in at 7 under. He's followed up by somebody I've never JT Poston. He's at minus 7. Rory McIlroy, still in the hunt. He's at minus 6. Got Tyrell Hatton at minus 6. I mean, I don't know if these names are made up or not. Lanto Griffin, minus 5.
Lanto.
Adam Scott at 4 under. And Bryson DeChambeau at 4 under. So we've got some notables if you want those.
According to this simulation, Jordan Spieth seemingly been to every corner of Augusta National, but he will head into the weekend under par, 1 under, 10 shots off the pace by John Rahm. And it looks like Tiger Woods, without a miracle, will not be repeating as champion as he sits at 4 over entering moving day. Make the cut right on the number.
Well, that's just a joke right there. How they know that. Probably being attention right now. According to this, Mickelson, Justin Rose, Paul Casey, and Gary Woodland are among the stars who missed the cut. And there you have it.
Always a pleasure. Bears Masters scoreboard, leaderboard, update center, brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. You can follow them online at cnbtn.com. Trey Wallace, what do you make of Tiger Woods missing the cut in the imaginary Masters this afternoon?
Well, you know, I'm not liking it there, Russ. I sure wish he'd have made the cut, had a lot of money on him. I'd have loved to see him wear red on Sunday. It's just very disappointing for us Tiger Woods fans that he will not be in it. I wish he'd have taken it more seriously and got his stuff together when it comes to his health. But it's unfortunate, and now we have to move on and root for somebody else, maybe like Bubba Watson.
Why are you talking like the sheriff at the end of Deliverance, Trey?
Well, I tell you this, we were just excited to be down there in Augusta, Georgia to watch Tiger Woods, but now he has done screwed everything up, and we have to find somebody else now to watch. I just don't appreciate paying all this money to be here, and now we don't get to watch him for four rounds. Shame on you, Tiger Woods.
I don't know if Trey sounds more like Boss Hogg or Foghorn Leghorn Bear. What do you make of that?
We just got the bear back on, Russ. He dropped yet again.
Well, we just going to have to get in touch with Bev's cellular service provider and tell him then to amp it up a little bit. This is too many times now we're losing Bear.
865-546-8200, your number. That's a good point, Alex. That's a good point. Johnny Majors won a national championship and left for Tennessee in 1976. But Johnny Majors should have won a Heisman Trophy at the University of Tennessee. He went to school here. He played here. He's from the state. Johnny Majors is Tennessee through and through. Bruce Pearl's not Tennessee through and through. He's a Jewish Yankee from Boston. Like, no offense, be politically incorrect, but let's not pretend like he's an East Tennessean at heart.
Whatever, Russ.
Tanner Carson, would you take Bruce back right now? Would you kick? Wait, Bears hijacked the conversation. That's not even the hot question. Would you kick Rick Barnes to the curb and bring in Steve Forbes right now? Because the Pearl thing's a pipe dream. You need to let it go. And shame on you, Bear, for giving the Bruce Pearl bathwater drinkers hope on this beautiful Thursday.
Real quick to answer the question about Steve Forbes. For right now, Steve Forbes, no, I'm good right now.
Thank you. Thank you for displaying some common sense.
You know who Forbes brought to Tennessee, Russ? Oh, too easy. He brought the player to Tennessee that you said has been and could be the biggest benefit to Tennessee going forward right now, one Bobby Mays.
Okay. Does Bobby still have eligibility left?
I mean, you've been gushing over Bobby for weeks now about the benefits of having him as part of our program.
Is Rick Barnes
and up to currently right now?
Wait. Is Rick Barnes? Did I miss something? Is Rick Barnes having trouble signing Bobby Mays' players? Because the last time I checked, Jaden Springer is headlining this class.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that we can. You know, you're throwing off on Forbes and getting recruits. He brought Bobby Mays here. Rick Barnes is sure as hell not from East Tennessee. I'm off on my man Bruce Pearl like that.
Well, it's not like
you sit
Bobby
here?
Mays is only. It's not like Wait. Bobby Mays is only helping Tennessee. I mean, Clemson's getting nice advantages of it. Duke's getting nice advantages of it.
Oh,
we
hold
can
on,
just keep
on.
Going down
you're,
the list.
You're going to sit here and act like Rick Barnes is not a great cultural fit for Tennessee?
No, I'm just saying you were. Slagging on Bruce because he wasn't from East Tennessee. I'm just pointing out that neither is Coach Barnes.
He's from right across the mountains in North Carolina. His wife is a UT grad. I mean, he's practically a Vol.
So is Bruce Pearl's wife.
The second one?
Yeah.
That's right.
And I'm not sure she graduated, but...
Coming up, the top four at four. We got a lot to get into yet this afternoon. Dr. Fauci says we should never shake hands again after all this is done.
I agree. Hey,
I'd also like to add something maybe to talk about in the next 2 hours. I know we got Bromberg at 425, but when exactly did radio headsets go out of date? Because I've seen stat shots of about 15 people in this game that are rocking those huge headsets, man, and those were so clutch back in the day.
What do you mean? Like people?
Well, okay, now I guess the question is, do people still carry radios into football games, or do they just do it through an app? Like, do you carry
headsets like I'm wearing right now? You're talking about those old earphones with the antenna sticking up that you go and walk into the stadium with.
Well, those two, but also, do you still, I'd like to know the question maybe still too, do you listen to, radio broadcasts while you're at the gate? Because I know my dad does it sometimes, but it's just a lot different now,
I haven't seen one of those. I haven't seen one of those radio headsets in like 20 years. Is that still a thing?
No.
Oh, yeah, they've still got them. I'm looking at them on some websites right now. I just got curious.
Why would you listen to a staticky radio station when every radio station or sporting event is carried on a crystal clear radio stream somewhere that you can listen to on your phone with headphones?
Some people still go the route of listening to the radio station. It's clear if you're in the stadium, man.
Out of all the things on right now, you want to talk about that? I mean, I thought you were going to go with Chris Jack,
I'm sorry.
CJ being involved in a double homicide.
No. Excuse me, Bear. Is there 14 different sports going on right now? I didn't know we had time to fill up for 3 hours. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got tons of stuff to talk. I mean, but hell, if you want to talk about radio headsets, let's talk about radio headsets. Why not?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back here and bow down to a picture of Bruce Pearl on my knees real quick during the break.
Ooh. It'd probably do you some good there.
Ooh.
No, that's cool. I just have to borrow your picture, though.
Okay.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. We'll get your top four at four coming up next year on Fan Run Radio.